It's Palm Sunday. Why is it important? What's all the fuss? We know it happened, but why do we, you know, why do we need to talk about it again? I just want to speak into that so we have understanding. Because it is, like, what did it mean then? What does it mean now? How does it apply to me? Let's get some clarity. First thing I want to do is read from Zechariah 9:9. It says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." It sounds familiar, doesn't it? Psalm 118:24-26. "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of God." This is two places in the Old Testament that is prophesying to the day when Jesus would get on a donkey and ride into the city of Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives. All right? Which is wild. There's other places that talk about it. Talks about it in Genesis, at the end of Genesis. Talks about it in Ezekiel. It is wild that these different men of God saw prophetically into the future and prophesied the Messiah coming. So the first thing that's important is this is a prophetic fulfillment. Jesus was fulfilling Old Testament prophecy by coming into the city like he did. And so we're going to read it from John 12. And it actually starts, this is important to note, it starts with Jesus being anointed. So it says, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at the table. Imagine, the Lord is having dinner with resurrected Lazarus. Isn't that wild? And they're sitting there, they're having a family dinner. Mary, therefore, took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, he who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Imagine stealing from Jesus. Jesus said, and yet Jesus chose him. Isn't that interesting? Jesus said, "Leave her alone so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you will always have with you, but you do not always have me." So the whole thing starts with Jesus being anointed. And what's that about? People read that and be like, well, he's being anointed for his burial. I actually believe, because Jesus was like, no, she can keep it. She's not using it all, but she's going to keep what's left, and then she'll anoint me again when I'm buried. Why the first time? Because She was anointed. I feel like the Spirit of God had her anoint Jesus as king. Kings, before they step into their kingship, they receive anointing, usually in the form of oil, right? And then usually the Spirit of God rests upon them to rule. This was in Israel anyway. This is how it happened in Israel, right? Mary, moved by Jesus, anoints him with this costly, fragrant oil as king. No one's understanding this. But then Jesus, he's like, go get that donkey for me. I'm going to fulfill scripture and I'm actually going to move. And I'm going to enter Jerusalem not as Jesus the comforter, but as Messiah the king. Right? The worship of Mary, it was costly. And when she poured it out on Jesus, the whole city, all of a sudden, was awoken. The king's here. Imagine as Jesus came down on his donkey, the wind's coming behind him, and they smell this fragrance that filled the whole house. And they get a whiff, and they're like, the king. What does your worship do? Jesus said, when I am lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. Don't discount what worship does in this place. We worship a long time because it shifts things in the heavenlies and it releases the presence of God. And man, when the presence of God rests on us and we go out, people are like, oh, the king, I can smell something different about you. What is it? I've been in worship. That's what it is. I've been with the king. Verse 12, the next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? We just read it. His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he had called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. Man, it ticked them off. Everyone was going after Jesus, the king. And so we see, is there a picture there, Isaiah? This was the journey, the dinner where he was anointed was in Bethany. And then he went up to the Mount of Olives, at some point got on a donkey, and then went over the Mount of Olives, down through the Kidron Valley, and straight through the East Gate and into the temple, right? And he was on a mission. And so it's about a day's journey to do that. Just so you've got a bit of a visual. We're going to flick to Luke 19, 41. It says, and when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you, and they will not leave one stone upon another in you because you did not know the time of your visitation. So as Jesus was coming down the Mount of Olives through the valley, the Kidron Valley, and then back up towards Jerusalem, he looks towards Jerusalem and starts prophesying over Jerusalem. Even though there were people that recognized his scent and were saying, Hosanna, and saying, praise be the King, here he is, he was prophesying over them. And he was like, you did not realize the day of your visitation. I was here among you and you didn't know. And the problem was, really, that Israel expected a king that would set them free from Roman oppression, that would take away all their troubles. And so the expectation they had of the king, of the Messiah, and then what Jesus delivered was not the same. And so that's how we get from one day they're crying out, Hosanna, here he comes in the name of the Lord, palm branches, laying their cloaks down, praising him as king, and then boom, crucify him. 6 days later. Because their expectations versus what Jesus was actually there to do was different. And that's where we can start to take something away from this to apply to us. Jesus was ushering in a new kingdom, a kingdom that wasn't of this world. It was the kingdom of heaven. We can see a, what's the word? People's expectations versus the way of Jesus. You know, they wanted a king. They always wanted a king. They were always crying out for a king, and kings usually brought them mess, didn't they? But they wanted a king, like an earthly king. They probably wanted him to ride on a big, strong horse and bring a sword and kill all their enemies. What did Jesus do? He came riding a donkey, lowly, humble, servant. They were expecting the Messiah to come and conquer by force. Scatter all their enemies, kill them, take them out of Roman oppression. And what did Jesus do? He came bringing a kingdom, a better way, the way of love, a way of peace, a way of grace and mercy. And he didn't conquer, you know, the nations that were oppressing Israel. He conquered hearts. He came to conquer hearts and minds. And he conquered death. So much better. Praise God. They wanted temporal peace. They wanted peace right then and there. Jesus offered them peace with God. But they didn't see it. They missed it. He was right there and they missed it. You did not know your day of visitation. So therefore, when he goes into the city, he's like, I'm prophesying the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple, and it's going to be a bad, bad time for you. He was weeping as he's going in. I think for us, we have to ask ourselves the question, like, what are we expecting from Jesus? And is it in line with the kingdom that he brings? Or are we just expecting Jesus to give us some temporary peace, take away the storms that are coming against us? I think sometimes Christians get taken out because they're like, oh, life's so hard. I've got all this stuff going on. I've got relationship troubles, or I've got financial issues or of you know, all of the troubles. I'm squeezed by the world. That's what the Israelites were like. They were squeezed by Rome. They were oppressed by Rome. And many Christians these days feel squeezed. We feel squeezed by being in the world. And we're just like, Jesus, would you please take it away? Take away the squeezing. And Jesus is like, no, I'm going to teach you how to sleep in the storm. I'm going to teach you to know me so that even when you're going through a storm, you have peace that transcends anything that can happen to you on the earth. I'm going to give you my presence, and that's going to be your protection, right? Does your level of okayness come with conditions? We've got to ask ourselves the question. If it does, don't miss your day of visitation. This is like a wake-up call. Get in the presence of Jesus. He has what you need. He has strength for you. He has grace for you. He has wisdom for you. He has counsel for you. What did it say about Jesus prophesied? He will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He comes to renovate the way we see what's happening on the inside. And then all of a sudden, anything can happen on the outside and we're okay. It's a new way. The other thing that Palm Sunday speaks of is it speaks prophetically of what's to come. So it wasn't just fulfilling prophecy, it was prophesying over what's coming. Zechariah 14:4. It says, on that day, his feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives that lies before Jerusalem on the east. Who are we talking about? Jesus, just to be clear. So on that day, the day of the Lord, Jesus will descend again on the Mount of Olives. And what does it say? The Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west by a very wide valley, so that one half of the mount shall move northward and the other half southward. And what is Jesus going to do? He's going to walk that same walk from the Mount of Olives. He's going to go through the east gate and he's going to set up his rule and reign, his eternal rule and reign from the temple, a physical place in Israel. We don't talk about this much, but this is what's going to happen. People are like, what's going to happen? Jesus is going to return. He's going to split the Mount of Olives in two, and then he's going to walk the same way. And do you know what? They've sealed the East Gate. Did you know that? That they think they're going to stop him. He's going to split a mountain in two, and they think he's not going to get through the East Gate. He's going to get through. Right? I can't wait to see it. It's going to be wild. Now, look at this. Revelation 7. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation and from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, look at this, with palm branches in their hands and crying out with a loud voice. White robes speaks of righteousness. Palm branch speaks of victory. Palm branches speak of victory, right? So clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Oh, palm branches on that day. It speaks prophetically into the day of the Lord, the coming of Jesus. Verse 15, it says, Therefore, they are before the throne of God. They serve him day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Our shelter does not come from everything being okay, everything in the world lining up and being perfect. Our shelter comes from his presence. You know, do not miss your day of visitation. Don't miss it. Isn't the scripture amazing? And this is just like a pin drop. The way that it prophesies about Jesus, the way he fulfills prophecy, the way he ushers in a new kingdom, the way that he prophesies into what's to come. It's amazing. That's why we celebrate today. And we remember that his kingdom is not of this world. It is not of this world. So don't expect Jesus to be doing things for you that aren't of his kingdom. Praise God. This whole thing, him coming into Jerusalem, man, it ticked off the religious leaders. Because the first thing he does, comes into Jerusalem, goes to the temple, and he clears the temple out. The king is in the temple, and he's like, you have turned my father's house into a den of thieves. My house will be called a house of what? Prayer. And it was then that the Pharisees were like, we're going to get rid of this guy. This is no good. And then it was like chain reaction, which takes us through to Good Friday. It's glorious. Can I encourage you this week? Get in the scripture. Get in the gospels. Read through the accounts of Jesus. Read through what happened before he got crucified. Read through the last things he said. Read through what he tells the disciples. So after this, like what we've just read, it goes into where he washes the disciples' feet, and then he just teaches his disciples. He's downloading like gold. Go read John. Read the rest of John. That's your homework. Read from John 12 to the end of John this week. He was downloading to the disciples all the things they needed to know. If you're like, I just need Jesus to speak to me, read John 14, 15, 16, 17. You'll be okay. You'll get something out of that. Because that's what he left his disciples with. Right? Oh my gosh. But take some time this week to go on a journey with Jesus and ask questions. Why did he say that? Why did he do that there? Why did he tell his disciples that? Why is that significant? Right? Ask questions of the Holy Spirit. You'll be amazed at what he'll show you. And find some time to be in his presence. That's why we've got all these things on. Like, yes, one of them's an outreach or whatever, but It's so you can be in the presence of God, whether it be through doing art, having a family dinner and just really focusing on communion, through worship, through prayer. It's like so you can be in his presence and you can know him, because that's where your protection comes from. Hallelujah. All right, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. And we thank you for your word, God. Holy Spirit, I just pray right now that you would come and you would rest upon every person in this room, Father. Come, Holy Spirit. I pray that you would clothe us with yourself. We want to be clothed with you, Holy Spirit. And I pray that you would teach us this week and that you'd speak to us. Open our ears to hear your voice, Holy Spirit. Open our eyes to see. I pray that you would take us deeper in the scriptures. I pray that you would help us to see Jesus. I pray that you would pierce our hearts with truth this week, God. I pray for encounters with the Spirit of God over every person in this room this week. I pray that we would find your presence, God. The place of safety, the place of protection, it's in your presence. I pray that you would open our spiritual eyes to see, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.